Blog Talk Radio.
Gospel Vibes with your host, Globe Pope and Minister Derek Tuggle on BTR right here on Blog Talk Radio. What's going on? What's going
what's
on,
up,
Minister
good
D?
Good.
Holler at our listeners.
What's up, good people? Good people. Hope you all enjoying your Sundays thus far. A good day to be in the land of the living, I tell you. What's up, Globe?
That's all right. That's all right. I am so grateful and thankful to be right here talking to you all on the air right here on our wonderful program. We have a beautiful program coming up this evening. We got guesses. Yes, we do. We got guesses, y'all. Y'all know how I talk. I love to talk like that anyway. And you know this. So anyway, we have on our program today, we have a young man, anointed man of God, gospel recording artist Carlos McKinney, all the way from Columbus, Ohio, is going to be joining us this evening to let you all hear the gifts that God has blessed him so with. We also have coming back to the program Pastor Chris Walker, all the way from Orlando, Florida, with his update on his book that has been going around the globe, Lemon to Lemonade. Y'all know what it's all about because you've been reading it. I know you've been reading it because it's been selling like hotcakes. So y'all stay tuned because we're going to have us a good time right here. Truly, we're going to do that. And right now, we're going to bring it on truly. We're going to play a little truly before we get started, and we're going to say a prayer. But we're going to come back to Minister D because he got an update for us. I know he do. So, hey, before we bring anybody on, let's get our head in the word right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank and praise you for this day, Lord. We would like to thank you for the day and every day that you have woke us up and blessed us to be able to participate in your finished works. We are grateful for our families, our businesses, and our ministries, and we ask that you continue to use us in the way that you, Lord, have predestined us to live. We ask that you bless this radio broadcast and all the people behind Glorious Gospel Vibes, all of our hosts and all of the listeners. We ask you to continue to bless them, to be a blessing to this world. Father, right now we ask all of these things in Jesus' holy, most gracious name we pray. Amen. 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 Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Woo-hoo! Oh, Minister D, bring it to the table. Go on, let's go and put it on out there so we can get it rolling.
Okay. This is why we should always pray over our food. Now,
oh, here we go. Here we go. One of these ones. Go ahead.
A New Mexico employee at a halfway house is charged for licking food.
For licking
now,
soup?
Licking food.
Oh, licking the food. Okay.
Yes, licking food. Now, an employee at a halfway house has been charged with 3 counts of battery on a peace officer for licking sandwich cheese and ice cubes and serving them to the probation and parole officers at the center.
Oh,
now,
wow.
His name well, not young lady. Yolanda Arguello was employed at the South Valley, New Mexico Women's Recovery Academy in Albuquerque as a contract employee. Now, the case is still under investigation, but she's had her clearance revoked and no longer works at the facility. Duh. Now, other employees at this facility have reported seeing her licking sandwich cheese and serving it to probation and parole officers and suck on the ice cubes and then place them in the beverages. The food served to probation and parole officers at the center, according to the affidavit. Now, a representative from the Community Education Center, the group that operates the facility, employed the young lady, but she could not be reached for comment. She was charged on Wednesday with three fourth degree felony counts of battery on a peace officer, according to a New Mexico court. And she posted bond shortly after.
That is because she ate something. Just because she licked on it. That's a battery?
Yeah, that's battery.
What?
That was bad. I mean, aside from that, this is why you got to pray over your food. You don't know what these folks. Now, think about it. This is at a recovery home, so think about all the restaurants that you dine at. Well, I dine at. You know, I dine at. Stuff is going on behind those closed doors before your food come out.
You don't know what's going on. That's why I've gotten to the point to eat at home. Try to eat out as little as possible.
But just because somebody,
I just see waiting on my food, I don't want.
Think about it, the thought of somebody licking your food before you come out.
Okay. See, that's what I'm not trying to think about that. That's what I'm saying. I'm not really trying to think about that right now. And for those of y'all listening that's hungry right now, you might call somebody to call you up and complain because you gonna spoil the appetite for the day.
I mean, because I understand. When I was in high school, I used to work at a restaurant. And before the food came out, I used to see some of the stuff they would do. You know, they would pick french fries off the people's plate and eat while they're waiting on the food and, you know, pick the veggies out with their hand while they're waiting on the food to come out and then drop it on the table and say, bon appetit.
Yeah, scratch their head and then pick up something, you know, itching under their arm, they sweat, and they just scratch up under there and then serve the food. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You see a lot of different stuff, even just waiting on your food sometimes. So that's why not only you got to pray over your food, but God told us to pray over that food.
Now you talking about scratching your head, so now somebody's going to eat out tonight and think about dandruff being in their collard greens.
That's what
happens. It looks like
that's
salt.
What you
think? You think
it's sea salt? Pray for me, y'all. Please pray for. Pray for.
And it's you think it's sea salt? This thing and this dandruff.
Pray for, please, somebody help him. Truly, cover it up, Glory Pope.
We got the glory.
His glory.
Minister D already done left Earth, but we're going to be praying him back down to Earth level so we can deal with him. Just keep him in prayer, heavy prayer. But right, as I told you all before, we have a special guest on today, an anointed man of God all the way out of Columbus, Ohio, Carlos McKinney. What's up, C? You know I break it down.
Hey.
What's up,
hey,
C?
Hey. How everybody doing this lovely evening?
We're blessed.
Great.
I'm glad you are on our program. I heard that you got it going on. I heard that you can tear a hole in the roof. I said, well, let me just check him out. You know, let me go find out for myself. And I tell you, you've got something going on. You've been doing this for a minute now. Give us a little bit about yourself to tell the listeners, you know, how you got started, you know, and what encouraged you to are you writing all your own music? And let us know what's going on.
Yes, I write all of my own material. I produce all of my own music. I am a musician, songwriter, and singer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing this since knee high, coming out of the church here in Columbus, Ohio, Bishop Sherman S. Watkins. He is my pastor. And, you know, I started at a young, young age. I mean, I really didn't know that I can sing until people really started telling me. I should just mock everybody. And next thing you know, I just started singing little songs here and there. And then all of a sudden, it just inspired me to just want to go further and further. But I was in the world for a long time singing secular music, and then I got saved in 1996. I came to the Lord, and I tell you, it's been awesome from then till now. It is awesome.
I know it was. Oh, my goodness.
So
yeah,
let me ask.
I feel you.
You know, I have to ask out the gate, you know, glory to you. So has been singing since you were 3?
Hey, I know it.
Excuse me, I couldn't hardly hear you.
You know, everybody's going to say, well, you know, I've been singing since I was 2.
You asked me, have I been singing since I was 3? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Everybody always say, you always ask, how long you been singing? First thing they say, oh, I've been singing since I was 2.
Well, I was singing, but I didn't know I could sing at that age, really. You know, I used to sing a lot of, you know, Michael Jackson when I was growing up, but. You know, yeah.
You know, that's just, right. Me too.
A lot of us
are
singing.
I was Jackson's sister. They just didn't know it.
But God has been good to me. God has really been good to me, you know, throughout my musical career and, you know, this journey I've been on. I've traveled many different places, you know, throwing events and singing. And I just completed my album. Thank the Lord. I've been working on it for such a long time.
Oh, praise God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I just completed my album. I am going to really start promoting the song Jesus, You're the One.
Okay.
And I love that song, and I played it for a few people, and people just really enjoying it.
Oh, I wish you had brought that to the station because I heard that one. And that was, ooh. So the one that I have is the one bigger is better, right?
Yes, that is one.
Or is that
that's
the same one?
That's the right one. Jesus, You're the One. Yes, that is it.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's what it's called. I just put the one. You know, I let everybody know. It's called the one. You'll find it. Carlos McKinney,
yes.
You'll find it. So people ask me. Well, so you are a musician. So you play all instruments? I mean, you play, or you have one particular instrument that you play, like percussions or maybe keyboard or what?
Well, I play keys and I play the organ, you know. Yes, I play the keys and I play the organ, and I'm a music producer.
You way up there in Columbus, right?
Yes, ma'am. Columbus, Ohio.
You weren't thinking about moving to ATL, did you? You weren't thinking about moving to ATL by any chance. Were you thinking about moving to ATL?
No, I'm glad you said that because I'm getting ready to make that move. I'm really getting ready to make that move by the beginning of next year, yes.
Oh,
it's already
okay. That's what I'm talking about. See that?
I knew it.
That's where they're coming now. They're coming here because the ATL has spread its wings into the music industry, and it is going on. It's going on. And that's how I ended up here. Now, you know, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
But I was half of my life I was raised in West Palm Beach, Florida. So I came here from there. But, you know, Florida is not a state of, you know, for music. Like, you know, I figured Atlanta would be. So I moved here for that purpose, just to, you know, get my music going.
Right.
It's a ride. So I understand what you're talking about. But I like the listeners to just check this song out because, And we're going to come back and talk with you a little more, and you can let them know how they can purchase it and how they can contact you and all that other good stuff. But I definitely want them to hear this beautiful song,
well,
Jesus,
yes.
You're the One.
Yes.
I call it
Spin
the
that
one.
Record, and I'm sure they will love it. It's awesome.
Here you go. Break it down. Carlos McKinney, the one.
Your throne in heaven, you came from up above.
Yes, you did.
You showed us the way to live and imparted your love.
Yes,
you showed me things that I couldn't see, for I was so blind.
Yes, I was.
You gave up your life for me, so I'm giving my life.
Coming on down to the ATL. You know we got a dragon. You know we got this big magnet that draws all the good ones out and brings them down here. So, you know, he'll be here. Carlos, I want you to tell our listeners just where they can purchase your CD and how they can contact you for ministry, to come and minister to the church at the banquets, conventions, or whatever it is they would like for you to do. Handle your business. Handle it.
Yes, yes, yes. Everyone can contact me through my email, which is qvisionhd@gmail.com. You will be able to purchase the CD July 21st, 2014. It will be on Amazon.com, or you can purchase it on iTunes. The whole album, it's heaven sent. I mean, God really blessed this album. It's personal, as you can tell. If you listen to Jesus, You're the One, it's personal. God really gave me that song because it was personal. So I'm looking for all of my supporters, not fans, but just supporters. I love you guys. And Jesus loves you. Yes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now, that email was Q as in as Queen, Q Vision. Is that Vision, V-I-S-I-O-N, H-D at gmail.com. Okay. I hope you all got that. Check it out. Check it out. And you'll be able to purchase this here CD July 21st. What is the name of your CD?
A Letter to the Church.
A Letter.
Yeah.
You heard Minister Dill did that.
Yes, because it is personal. It really is. Every song that the Lord gave me is personal. It really is. I am such a lover of Jesus Christ. I mean, because nothing else in this world matters to me. I can't even speak for everybody else. But for me, nothing else matters but Jesus Christ. That's for real.
That's wonderful. That's what I'm talking about.
A Letter to the Church.
Well, Carlos, we are so glad that you came by just to holler and let the ATL know that you're out here in the midst of them with an anointed CD that's getting ready to be to burst out of his frame. Also, you will be he will be on Gospel is Golden next week. Y'all need to check him out, 8 p.m. Gospel is Golden. Check it out. All right. Carlos, we love you. Thank you so much for being on Glorious Gospel Vibes, and we hope to have you back soon with an update.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, and God bless.
All right. All right. God bless you. God bless you.
All right.
All right, y'all. Y'all heard it right here. Right here first, right here on Glorious Gospel Vibes. Carlos McKinney. And we got in the house also right here in the Stucho, you know how we stay at Stucho. We have Pastor Chris Walker all the way from Orlando, Florida, with an update on that wonderful book that all of us have read or been in process of reading that will uplift your soul. Now, I'm telling you, some people say they got it going on with that lemon. Y'all don't know nothing about them lemons, do you? Well, you need to read the book if you don't. Right here, Pastor Chris.
Yes, ma'am.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I like that. I like that song you just played.
Yes, it's nice. It's very nice.
Uh-huh.
I was a young man
from Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, I was humming right on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one. It's going. He said Jesus is the one. And he said it's a personal thing. So that's all right.
Paul wrote some letters to the church. Why can't he?
That's right.
Now go ahead. Now what you say?
Don't start now. Won't be.
We need a letter to the church. A letter to the deacons. Come on.
Yeah, a letter to everybody right about now.
We need a letter to the people that's licking folk food too.
Something wrong with
that. Oh, yeah.
Pastor Walker, please pray for him. Go into some heavy-duty prayer.
Yeah.
Okay. Pastor,
well, look,
you know,
we want to hear what's going on.
Well, you know, since the last time I came on, I was just actually looking at my calendar because you are one of the first shows I came on. And it's been an amazing ride. Again, this book is entitled Lemons to Lemonade, Overcoming Your Past and Winning in the Now. It's about people learning how to squeeze purpose out of a sour season. And so if you've got a sour season you're going through, whether it be a job, relationship, I don't know what your sour season is, but know that you can squeeze purpose out of a sour season. And the last time I came on your show, Globy, I think I was around 10 or 15 interviews. But today, your show is number 75.
Wow.
75 radio and television interviews across the USA and Canada. I just was on nationally this past Wednesday on the Impact Network with Bishop Greg Davis, 26 million viewers. Next month I'll be on TCT on again. I've been on there before, but I'm going again on TCT on June 18th, which is 75 million. July 16th, I'll be on CTN in Nashville, which is 50 million. And so God is just continually to open up doors for this book. I have no publishing company. I have no PR person working for me. God has allowed me to pick up the phone and send out emails to every last one of these networks that are calling right now. And I've also, my wife and I even stepped out in faith on May 16th, and we shot our first television pilot, which is in the editing stage right now. And many of the networks that I have been on for my book have asked me to send them the pilot when it's complete in about 10 days.
Well, Pastor, you know,
that's what I'm talking about.
I've been waiting to, you know, to tell you, you know, I've been working on, I'm working on a book also. And I call it, Don't You Make No Lemonade Without No Sweet Tea.
Lord Jesus.
See what a plan right here.
Father, we thank you right now. We come against that spirit right now. No,
and it's called, you know, the subtitle here, the subtitle is Perfecting an Honor Farmer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, next month.
Lord, help us, Jesus.
It should be out next month.
This is what I go through. People don't understand.
Well, hey. Well, you know, one of the greatest things that I'm glad I'm able to do, which I have, been able to inspire a lot of people who have had books in their spirits, and now they're beginning to write books and get them in form and get covers done. And so it's just a testament that, you know, I'm not a, I don't have a large church. I don't have a big name, but I have a big story. You know, my testimony is just as good as anybody else's. And so that's what God needs everybody to understand is that you think your testimony is average, but for many people, it's what they need to hear. And you know, my book was birthed from my personal testimony of being homeless with two children at the age of 22 years old. And I'm sure I'm not the only homeless person in the world, but this is just my time and season to share my story. And that's just the way God ordained it. So I just want to encourage those people who are listening to your program who have been sitting on books and you've been saying for years, I'm going to write this book. Well, you need to go ahead and write it. Go ahead and write it. I always tell people, don't try to write a book. Just write what you're thinking. Write what's in your spirit. Write what you went through. Write your experience.
Then turn around and go and form it
after you have put it on paper, because somebody's waiting to read your story.
And interject, but a lot of people don't understand. Everybody has a story.
Well, we do. I mean, the reason why we read the Bible is because there were disciples who wrote books. The disciples were just like me and you. They had issues. They had jobs. You know, they had attitudes. God used them. He saw the potential in, you know, Jesus had 70 that was following him, but only 12 made the cut. And even the 12 that he had, one was a doubter, one was a denier, and one sold him out. So, you know, he didn't have a perfect bunch of people, but because of them writing what they experienced, we have a Bible to read. So just like for generations, people are reading the Bible for generations, they're going to read your book for generations. Right. And they're going to be encouraged by your testimony, and that's what this is about. Because I'm telling you, my book, as I told Globally the last time I was on here, my book sat on my computer for 7 years. I wrote it as a healing process to heal me from what I had went through. And then I had a gentleman read it, and he said, you need to put this in book form. I said, really? He said, yeah, you need to put it in book form. And this man who told me to do that had sold 7 million books around the world. So when he told me that it was a good book, I took his word for it, because if he sold 7 million, he know what he's talking about.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
And he said, you got a book. He said, you got a book, and you need to put this in book form. And I did. And it's like the minute I decided to do it, within 60 days, I had 25 interviews. And right now I'm at 75 and still going. I mean, the book is doing well. I've printed it, you know, I'm in the fifth printing. I've been invited to the Bahamas.
Wow.
I've been on a radio station. I've been on a radio station in Ontario, Canada, and Montreal, and then Bishop Greg Davis, who I was just on his show this Wednesday, he wants me to come back on his radio program. That's national. So, I mean, it's just the doors are opening, because the bottom line is everybody got lemons in their life, but the problem is we don't learn how to squeeze purpose out of them. Don't waddle in your lemons. Don't remain sour forever, but learn how to squeeze. I say, not only, you know, some people say, well, if life brings you lemon, make lemonade. I say, if life brings you lemon, squeeze the heck out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Squeeze purpose out of them.
There you go. That's what I'm trying to do. I've been trying to get this book out forever. And you just, you know, you hear so much confirmation. And then, you know, what you said about, you know, you had it on your computer for 7 years. And that's how, it's like me. I got, I had this book on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody keeps saying, no, you got to elaborate more and more and more on it. You got to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And all I did was dump what I had in me out.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's
like
the thing, Globy.
Once
you start writing it, just write what you got in you now. And then what happens is, you get in a quiet place. You go to a city park like I did. You go to a lake or ocean. Go somewhere where it's just peace. And you begin to read what you have already put down, and I guarantee you more stuff will begin to flow out of you. So you got to start somewhere. What I did was I preached this message 7 years ago at a church. So I just sat down and listened to my sermon, and I wrote down everything I said in the sermon.
That you said in the sermon. Right.
And then I developed the book from there.
Wow.
Well, Pastor, from what I heard you say was, you said you basically put all these ideas down as healing for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the beautiful part is it looks like now you're healing other people.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I did it for, self-healing. To get it off my chest. And here's the thing, I wrote it the way I was feeling it. Just like you would sit down and tell somebody over some food, or, you know, at a restaurant, and you would sit there and tell them your testimony. It's the way you need to write it down. The problem is people try to sit down and they try to start writing like a book, and it's never going to come
like
out that
book.
Way.
Right.
It's not going to come out that way. You got to write it. You got to write it down, just like you would sit in front of me and tell me your testimony. Tell me what your life is about, what you went through. That's how you write it. You know, just start writing it like you're sitting there talking to somebody at the table, and you're telling them your story. Write it just like that. And then I would let a few days go by, or even a few weeks or months go by, and go back to my stuff and read what I wrote. And then other things would begin to pop up that I forgot to put in there. And that's how the book just began to develop, because you never remember everything. You'll keep reading something, and then you'll say, oh, I forgot about this, and I forgot about that, and things will start coming out. And so the book will start taking shape. But for me, it was much easier because the points that I made in my message became my chapters.
Mm-hmm.
So I just developed those points that I made in my sermon and made them chapters. But chapter four, which is my...
I was on you when you wrote it.
Yeah, chapter four, which is my personal testimony. Chapter four, which is my personal testimony in the book, because the whole book is not about me. It's about several other people, 12 chapters, but only one chapter is about me, which is chapter 4. Well, that is what I did. Chapter 4 is when I sat down. You can almost look at it and tell I was just telling you my testimony. I told you it, when I was 17 years old, this is when the story began, you know, and I just sat there and wrote it just like, you know, of course I had to go back and correct the punctuations and wordings, and sometimes you use the same word too much. And but that's when you go, I tell people, go and find you an English teacher. Oh, everybody don't went to school. You went to high school, you went to college.
You
know,
pass out on this floor.
You know a English teacher at a high school or a college. Go and have them edit your book. They will spot immediate grammar issues. They'll tell you, you know what, Pastor, you use this word too much. You use this word over here, over there. You can use the same type of word but a different word, you know, the same meaning but a different word. And so that's what I did. I just got a person who had an English background, and I'm here to tell you, I spent less than $1,000 for my cover, the layout of my book. Somebody edited it for free, and I got my first 100 copies for less than $1,000. And here we are, 75 interviews later.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, because some people are listening to me right now and say, well, Pastor, I done went to all these book companies, and they want to charge me $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. Many of the things that people want to charge you money for, you can do yourself. You can put yourself on Amazon. You can put yourself on Kindle. Do you know that Amazon, for $75, will turn your book into a Kindle file?
Mm-hmm.
More people buy a Kindle than they do print, which is what I'm getting ready to do. $75, they just turned the whole thing into a Kindle file. Okay?
There you go.
So you can do that yourself. They print your book. Okay? They do everything. If somebody in Paris want to buy your book, they're going to ship it to them, and that's not going to affect you.
Right.
Not going to affect you. Well, you sure have lifted me, even with me trying to write my book, because I was just, you know, most people, I'm more of a, you know, I like to be humorous and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm writing, also be truthful and be to the point of what I'm trying to say. Well, you know, one lady told me that to take all the cliches out and all the humor out and just be, I said, no, I got to be me. The book, you know, I'm telling my story, and I just got to be me. Everybody, the people that do know me, if I did that, they would know this is just something that somebody else, you know, wrote. They wouldn't think I wrote it.
Right.
And I was kind of, you know, she said, well, okay. You know, she didn't want me to be humorous in the book. At, you know, I don't know. But
you have to be you. I mean, you have to be you. I mean, like I said, there you get that English teacher, and they'll kind of help you with a few things. You know, you can still tell them I want to be true to myself, but I also want to be, you know, grammatically correct on some things. That's just like we wouldn't appreciate the color purple had they made the slaves talk proper.
Right.
You know, Celia had to.
Well,
say,
I'm gonna go
know.
Back to that same lady. She gonna do that book. She gonna help me out with that book, and we gonna get that out here. But right now, we just thankful that God is. He got some good authors out there, and you're one of them. And everybody, and it's a lot of people that's talking about Lemons to Lemonade. I mean, you know, it was a good catch, and the title was so catchy. I mean, as soon as you say it, that people can vision in their mind just exactly what you're talking about
and here's the thing about I want to help those who are writing. Here's the thing that I was told and it worked. There's three things you need to be concerned about when you're writing a book that make people pick it up. One, have a great title.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Have a great cover, a design cover. Two, make sure that whatever you put on the back of the book make them want to open the book up. That little paragraph on the back of your book is so important. If you don't define your book in that one paragraph on the back, you could lose people from not even buying your book or opening your book. The paragraph on the back must make them want to open the book up and turn to the table of contents. That's what Dr. Laird had taught me, and that's what I did. And believe it or not, just about 90% of the interviews I've gotten, you know what they said to me? They said, you know, Pastor, you know the reason why we called you or the reason why we gave you an interview? All of them said it was your title of your book. They said without even knowing what it was about, they said even without knowing what it was totally about, it was the title. We knew that this title had something to do with helping people to overcome past, you know, failure.
Hurts and whatever. Yeah. That's
and that's what Bishop Greg told me. He said, man, do you know I get hundreds of books every week to you know, to try to be on my show because his show is live every day in Detroit. And he said, but what made your book stand out was your title.
That's right.
So I want to tell the person who's
about even
I want to tell people that's listening, make sure that you got a good title and a good cover, and you got to think about that because this is a visual generation. We buy music and CDs and books and DVDs based upon how it looks.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was getting ready to say.
You know, that's why
there
Hollywood spends millions of dollars on trailers. Hollywood spends millions of dollars on trailers to get you to go to the movie, and sometimes you go see the movie because the trailer was awesome, but then the movie was bad.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you'll buy a CD because it looked good, and ain't but one good song on there out of 12 songs. There's only one good one.
Okay, that's what I'm
doing. So,
you're taking the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. I mean, how many CDs have you seen? You're like, man, this looks nice. Or better yet, I'll use the gentleman that came on before. He had a nice title, or at least to me was. You know, he said, A Letter to the Church. Now, right there, but triggered something in my mind. Say, hey, I need to check this out.
Oh, that's a great title. That's a great title, A Letter to the Church. That means it's something that's personal, that's going to be said, that the church needs to hear. So that's a great title that he used. It's kind of like, how many restaurants that you went to because you saw some pictures of some food, and you said, man, it looked good. And you went over there and ate it, and it was not as good as it looked. But the power of marketing is it's got to look good. That's why restaurants use pictures in their menus. And sometimes we'll pick something based upon – sometimes we don't even want to look at all the words on the menu. We'll look at a picture that look good and say, I want that right there.
Just a picture. That's all you need is that picture.
So you got to have a good
cover.
Some of
us look at the picture and the price.
That's second thing you look at the price. But, you know, like I said, if you're doing a book, make sure your cover is, you know, and you don't have to spend a bunch of money. I spent, what, $200 for my cover? You know, I mean, and I revised it three times until I was satisfied. It was something about them two glasses, because the first cover I had was one glass of lemonade. But when I saw the two glasses, that's when I said that's the cover because that represents double portion. I've been through a lot, but God's gonna not only give me what I lost,
right?
He's gonna give me double.
Double for your trouble.
The anointing was in the
if you just squeeze it out.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and I got a chance, I really got a chance to do what I always want to do on these shows. Bishop Greg gave me an opportunity, and I actually had, you know, my lemonade glass and my lemons on the set and everything, and man, that thing got the good. They said, man, we don't have enough time for you to finish this message. Cause
so just bring us some sugar. Let's go and make this lemonade.
What I did was I held up a bowl of lemons, and I said, this bowl of lemons represents every issue that you faced in life. And my other hand was the finished glass of lemonade with a slice of lemon on the glass. I say this glass represents the state that God saw you in. In other words, the lemons is the before, and the glass is the after. In other words, God said, before you were born, I knew you. Before you had all your issues, he said, I already saw you as lemonade.
God.
He saw you in the state of refreshing. You've been cut and squeezed, not for yourself. You've been cut and squeezed for the people that you ordained to reach. Lemonade is never designed for itself. It's designed for us because we need to be refreshed.
I'm going to make me a picture.
And then I said the slice of lemon at the edge of the glass. You know, because I said some people ask, why do you put a slice of lemon at the edge of the glass? Because God said, as you begin to refresh other people, that lemon slice represents your past issues that you never forget where you came from.
I'm going to make me some lemonade.
I tell you all that don't know about Pastor Chris Walker and his book, you might need to go and check it out. And Pastor Walker, I need you to just give them a little bit more information on how they can purchase this book or where they can get it from.
Well,
and
they can see you on your
next program.
Well, they can go to Amazon.com, of course. They got to put the whole title in. It's called Lemons to Lemonade, Overcoming Your Past and Winning in the Now. Or they put in Lemons to Lemonade with my name, then, of course, they can find the book as well. And you can get it much cheaper if you go to my website. My personal website is chrislwalker.com. That's Chris, the letter L, walker.com. You can actually get a book for $10 on my website. You can get two books for $16 there. I'll personally sign it and, you know, mail it to you. But and it also, that same website, you can see every place that I have been and every place I'm getting ready to go to. If you go on there now, you'll see Globy's show back way back in August, and then you'll see the one today, you know, in a few days after I have my webmaster put it on there. But all the shows I've been on is on there. I didn't take any downs from, because I wanted to. I would say I was going to wait till I hit 100. That's my goal. I'm going to hit 100 shows, and then I'll start over.
Well, I'm going
to
make
now, when you get your 100th show, you need to come on have something at your church so me and Derek can come and stomp a hole in the roof.
Yeah, and I got a chance to even meet Globy because I came to Atlanta for a week and was on several of the shows that I was on, Babby Mason, Atlanta Live, Love 860. CNN. I did CNN twice. And then I got a chance, and Global took me to this mall, and we had greens and macaroni and cheese.
It was all right. Well, the next time I went, it was terrible.
Oh Lord! Well, I can't even remember the name. I just know that I felt like I should have been carrying something because you know it was over that way, but over there by Krispy Kreme. But got a chance to meet her.
I ain't going to call no names. Well, we had a good soul food.
Yes.
But we ain't going to call no names. But, Pastor, I am so grateful that you came back on to update us with what's going on, knowing that God is still in control of our life through our gifts and talents. As we just go on and apply that thing, we got to step it up a notch. So we are grateful that you came back on, and thank God for you. And we hope that next time we're going to do another update, we'll be on the next book, and it'll be already done sold about a million copies.
And the next time we talk, Globy would have been halfway, or if not complete, with her book.
Well,
I'm
going to
be complete.
Next time
you come on this show, it's going to be finished.
Good.
I'm going to make you some lemonade, and hopefully the Lord will speak to me on the second glass.
Yes, and you and I look forward to your book coming out next month, the Honor Palmer, God's Way, whatever you called it.
Well, I don't know what that was. Pray for him, that's all I say. Just when you go kneel down and pray, keep Mr. D in mind about that lemon tea that he's trying to make. Okay.
No.
God will give you your heart's desire and anything that you ask
and
if you have faith to believe that it can happen.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just say thank you, Pastor Walker, and God bless you and hope everything turns out just the way God wanted through and in you.
Amen. Well, thank you for having me on. And, of course, go to Facebook at ChrisLWalker.com. I mean, Chris L. Walker on Facebook. You can see the pictures from the Alive TV show, Alive TV Facebook page. You can see all the pictures from our TV pilot.
All right. All right. All right. There you go. God bless you. And have a great day. We love you.
You too. Thank you.
All right.
Right now, Heart's Desire by Juanita Vine. I'm going to take us on out of here. We love you. Thank God for all our guests that was on our program this evening. Minister D, love you. Thank you for being on. We're getting ready to roll it on out. Heart's Desire, Juanita Vine, right here on Glorious Gospel Vibes. We'll see you next week. We love you. Peace.
In you.